everyone. Welcome to church. My name is Caleb.
And I'm Ava.
And we're so glad you decided to be with us here at church today. Ava, what do we have coming up?
Your next steps here at Only Believe starts with Growth Track. On the first Sunday of each month, Growth Track invites you to learn about the history and the vision of the church, learn how you belong here, and helps you discover your God-given gifts and how you can use them in meaningful ways. Growth Track is all about helping you know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and to make a difference. With lunch and childcare provided, all that is left for you to do is to come ready to grow and connect. To sign up, you can scan the QR code on the bottom of the screen, or you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get all signed up there. We cannot wait to walk this journey with you.
Hey, church family, Pastor Tim here. I'm excited to announce that Pump 2026 registration is open. Now, Pump is our annual summer youth camp for students that are going into fifth grade all the way up through this year's graduating seniors. Pump's happening on July 23rd through the 26th at Cross Oak Camp in St. Mary's. The cost is $205 per person, and you can register by using the QR code on the screen, or you can head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. There's a flyer at the Welcome Center with the QR code to register your students. All the registrations are happening online, so you have to register that way. We can't wait to see your student at Pump this year.
Prayer has the power to transform lives, and we believe it. That is why we have prayer services throughout the month on the first Saturday and the third Thursday of each month. First Saturday prayer is a time where we get to seek God, worship together, hear an encouraging word, and pray both corporately and personally. And we also have the opportunity to head down to the altar and pick up a prayer card and pray over the needs of others in our church family. Thursday prayer is an hour prayer in the youth sanctuary from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. So we hope to see you there, and we cannot wait to pray with you.
Hey church, today we have a volunteer highlight for you. It's Dan Hill. We want to recognize him for faithfully serving on the maintenance department. He's always mowing the church lawn, fixing our tractors, and doing anything we ask him to do. He's always willing to lend a helping hand with a great attitude and with a servant's heart. People like Dan help keep this church running smoothly. We are so thankful for all the hard work he does behind the scenes. Dan, we thank you for your dedication and for always serving faithfully.
A simple invite card could change someone's life. Here at Only Believe, we put out invite cards on the pews and out at the Welcome Center in the lobby, and they serve as a super easy way to invite someone who you may or may not know to come to church with you. So be praying about who God would lead you to invite to our next service.
And if you have questions about groups, events, or ways to get connected here at Only Believe, you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get all of your questions answered. Now, let's lean in and prepare our hearts and our minds for the word that is going to be spoken to us today.
Good morning, Only Believe church family. It is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Do you know that you are a people of God? Do you know that? I don't think I heard you. Do you know you are a people of God? Yes, you are. Why? Because you believe in the things of His Word, and you stand strong and firm. And when trial and tribulation and life doesn't go the way you expected, because you're founded in that Word, because you're built upon the rock of Jesus Christ, when the storms of life come, they'll shake. The Bible says vehemently against you. That means radical. Shake them crazy. And you will stand because you're with Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes things come in life that you don't expect to shake you. But because of Christ, we have a firm foundation. Amen. Amen. Just a reminder, as a church, that our vision for you, not just a vision, but our prayer for you as a church, is that you would know God. Not know about Him, not know He's up in heaven, but know Him. Know how He thinks, how He feels, how He responds, how He acts towards people. And that you would find freedom when you know who He is. And I'm not talking about freedom just from sinful things. I'm talking about freedom from your past. I'm talking about freedom from the dysfunction that you were born into and that you've come out of, and not putting that dysfunction upon the people around you, but being found free, truly free, because we know the truth indeed. Amen. And then number three, that you find your God-given purpose. Not your earthly purpose. I'm all about that. I love that you love to farm. I love that you love to work in your local factory. But what I'm telling you is, in each and every single one of you, there is a God-given deposit and a purpose that you were created. And until you find that purpose, you'll be searching everywhere. Everywhere, to and fro, because God puts a God-shaped hole inside every one of us. And you can try to fill it with your work. You can try to fill it with family. You can try to fill it with activities outside of your God-given purpose. But until that purpose that God designed you for is fulfilled, you will not be purposed and fulfilled in your own heart, life, mind, and soul. And then when you make a difference with that purpose together in a body of Christ, it changes the way you live your life. And you stop living it for you and you start living for others. Amen? That's the vision and the purpose and the prayer for your church, for your life. So if you want to know more about that, please see one of our staff or head out to the visitor's desk after service in the lobby, and we will get you on that journey of what that life looks like and how to get there. Amen? All right, let's pray before we get started today. God, we just give you our eyes and our ears today. Father, we give you our hearts and our minds. Father, and we just submit them to you, Father, as we learn about your word today. As we read the scriptures, Father, unfold it like a beautiful story, God, written in our mind. Lord, write it upon our hearts. And God, I rebuke the enemy from coming to steal the word immediately from when we hear it. But God, let it transform our lives and begin an inward change in us, that we would look more like Christ every day to the world that needs to see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm excited. This is a message today that is birthed out of something that was said over the week of Pentecost. And I bring that to you because if you were here on Wednesday night, Rick Cimentero was here and he delivered a word. But in the middle of his word, he shared something with us as a church that the Holy Spirit had told him directly for our church. Now, because of Rick's apostolic anointing, it looks a lot like Paul in the Bible, right? So Paul was over churches. Paul would go into the church of Corinth or the church of Ephesus, and he would go in and he would minister there. But then when he ministered, he would see things that might be a little tipped wrong. And he would write a letter back to Timothy or to the church of Corinth, and he would say, here's what I see when I was there, and I need you to gently correct the gauge. I need you to fix what I saw. Well, Rick dealt with it in a Wednesday night crowd, but to be honest with you, it just kept wearing on my heart that we needed a little bit deeper revelation of what that meant. So I just began to seek the Lord. While Pastor Randy was in Africa, we didn't have a message title, so it left a free week open. So I'm just going to speak to you from the heart of a pastor, that this wouldn't stop grating on my pastoral nerve for you, because I felt that if this is a nerve and it was hit by the apostolic anointing and revealed to him, that it might be a letter from God to you and I, to the church of Only Believe, saying, this is what the word was, saying that there was rust on the believers in the area of working of Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues in our lives. Now, that's a big, big swallow for us, but I want to challenge you that rust on a vehicle, rust on a tool is usually set in because it was properly uncared for, or maybe it had never been used since the day it was bought. The Holy Spirit is not wanting us to not use him in our life. He's not looking for us to not understand how to properly use and care for what he's given us. Like if I use Randy's tools, you all know that Randy has a thing for me using his large tools. He would not want me to let that tool sit outside in the rain and not put it in its proper place and take care of it, right? So I'm asking you today, as a pastor, I started to search through and look in the heart of the believer and say, why would Only Believe not be using the very gift that we've been given? Why? Is it because we don't know how it works? So we're a little put back and going, well, if I knew more, I'd use it. But I don't really understand it. Or is it that we grieve the Holy Spirit because we're not respectful of the tool we've been given, so we don't wipe it off when we're done and put it away, but we continue to live a life of unholiness? So when you need to use the Holy Spirit, he's holy. He's not going to come into where there's a sinful life and say, oh, let me be used. He needs a holy vessel to move through. Amen. Or is it that we've just grown lazy in the things of the Spirit? And what we really want is we want God, the creator of the universe, to be involved in our lives. Amen. Because after all, he's the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, and we need balance and we need oxygen. So we're okay with that part of God. And we get to blame him for every hurricane, every tornado, world hunger, because that's all God's fault. When it's not, it's humanity living its own life and the way it works, right? Number two, we love Jesus. We love Jesus because he's the one that redeemed us. He's the one that gave us the ticket when we believe in him and confess and make him Lord of our life that gets us to heaven. And we're all okay with that, right? Because we all want to be in heaven. That's our end goal. But is that where we stop? And we just park the car in the driveway and go, well, we got God. And Jesus redeemed us, and he's forgiven me of my sin, and I'm going to heaven, so woo! And we just sit there. Because that will bring rust in our life, in the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to be inactive. So what I'm going to tell you is that I think the most underused part of the Godhead, the Trinity, God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Out of the three, I think the Holy Spirit might be the one that you would pull in your driveway and park and say, yeah, I'm good right here, because the world might look at the Holy Spirit as a little weird. Come on, church. I'm talking right up your alley. What I'm telling you, the third part of the Godhead is not weird. He is a person. He is a person that you and I need to walk with, that you and I need to go to bed with, that you and I need to literally run our lives with every day. He's not an option that you get to take off and put on every day. He is inside of you and I, and he is leading and guiding our lives. But if you don't give him that space, and you park him, and you park in there, and you even put the emergency brake on so you're sure he don't roll out of your driveway, because you're afraid he might cause some emotional damage out there. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit will cause emotional damage. He'll cause emotional damage in you because he will require you to step out of your comfort zone and set your emotions of the way you feel, the way you look, the way you see to everyone around you. And he will require you to step out of that comfort zone. And you'll go, ooh, I don't like that. That don't make me feel safe. You know what? That's your emotions. And your emotions are not meant to lead your life. They're meant to be gauges that you look at and say, why am I feeling like this when God's asking me to step out and do that? I'm going to give you some points of why there's rust in our life today, but we're going to start. For those of you that might not know anything about the Holy Spirit, I felt that we couldn't ignore why it's been brought to us and what it's for. So we're going to start in the beginning at Acts 1, 4 through 9, and I really hope I can peruse through this, but we're going to do our best. And the Holy Spirit helped me not to get sidetracked. Amen? All right, Acts 1, the fourth verse through 9. It says, once when he, Jesus, was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father, this is God, sends you the gift he promised. Someone say gift. Yes. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He thought that Jesus was going to become the king, literally on this earth, but he became the king of our hearts. Amen? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. Now, it said that you will, not you might, receive power. For what? The power was coming that the believer, mind you, the Holy Spirit is for those who believe in Jesus. It's, remember, I said it's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not living in a life that is unholy and given over to rebellion and sin. Do you understand? So I'm mainly speaking to you as believers today and putting the responsibility and equipping you as the church. If you find in your heart that you do not have a love, a compelling, a burden for the lost, then I'm telling you that your Holy Spirit may be running out. Did you hear me? I'm telling you that the work of the Holy Spirit that you once received, and in all of its power, remember when you first got saved, you could not stop telling people about the gospel. Why? Because he had saved you. He had redeemed you. He had saved you from the wreckage and brought you up from hell, and now you were going to heaven. And now, oh, we just walk by people dying and drowning every single day because we got our own agenda and we're busy. Could it be that the Holy Spirit, that you're not spending the time that you need with the Holy Spirit to keep the burning for the lost and the burden that compels you through the spirit of love that says those people need Jesus? Some of you would stop for a broken down car faster than you would stop for a woman in Walmart that you know is struggling in her life, but you don't have time. Church, we have to open our eyes and our hearts to what it was, because when you receive power, it comes with a responsibility. And that power comes with the ability to see a hurting, lost generation and a burden, not, I might want to do that, or well, if you bring them my way, I'll do it. No, a burden for the lost that compels you, that pushes you into action, that says, God, just give me one more. Just give me one more, like Hacksaw Ridge. Just give me one more, because the time is short and they all need to find you. So the first one was for the power to witness through the Holy Spirit. That's what it was for. But let's go to Acts 2 and find out when the tongues came to the church. Let's go to Acts 2, verse 1. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a great sound from heaven, like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At the time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they, kind of like a melting pot, like New York, like Chicago, like every nation coming together. It said, these people all are from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages! Exclamation mark. Now go down to verse 11, just for the sake of time. It says, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things that God has done. One of the places for tongues is used, number one, to unite people. To unite people. These people were speaking in African, though they were this. They were speaking. Now, I took French. It did nothing for me. I don't remember one French word, and I couldn't speak nothing. Who would have knew the only thing I needed was to be filled with the Holy Spirit and I can speak in languages? I'm just saying, it's not proof that you don't have to be taught from birth to speak in this language in order to get it. God's willing to give you the gift of languages. So we see that what were they doing with this language? They were declaring the works of God. And someone in another nation who didn't speak what they understood, they were speaking it so they could understand it. Understand what? The works and the marvelous display of who God was. They were sharing, they were testifying of the beautiful things that God had done. Okay, that's a reason that the tongue is used. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, that's never happened to me. I've never spoken in a language. However, one service, my dad gave a tongue down here, and there was a man that had grew up in Nigeria. And that man came up after the service totally outside of himself because he understood the language my father just spoke. My dad had no language in African. He didn't know how to speak Swahili. Every place in Africa, you could drive 7 miles down the road and the dialect's different because there's not a lot of education in Africa. So they make up their own languages as they go. So literally city to city, it means something different. So dad could have never known where that man had been raised and what his dialect was. What was that? An empowerment of the Holy Spirit that that man would believe in the awesomeness of who God was and declare his works. And now that man is forever changed. And you can't take that away from him, that he knows the Holy Spirit is real. The gift of tongues in the church is real and he needs it. Amen. So it's another reason that we need it. But let's just acknowledge that Jesus wanted us to have this baptism. He wanted us to have this infilling, and it was a promise from the Father for all of you and I. Let me state this. It's not something to be fearful of. Did you hear me? It's something to be embraced. Now, here's the problem. Sometimes churches don't do this well, and so it can get weird. It can get weird, but if there's not the right order, it gives the church a bad name. But when it's done in the order and the way the Bible has directed us to do it, it's this beautiful gift that it's not meant to be fearful of. Is it possible that the reason our car is in our driveway and it's not being used is because you're fearful of what the world thinks about you because you're filled with the Spirit? Let's go back to Acts, right where we were. Look at verse 13. It said, "But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, 'They're just drunk.'" That's all. The Bible tells us don't be filled with wine to be drunk, but he tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit so that it's overflowing. You know what that tells me? That means that your Holy Spirit can be drained. Not your initial infilling, but the refilling that you and I need every day. And if you don't charge it, if you don't do something to reignite that Holy Spirit, he begins to sit and rust away. Guys, we can't be fearful of what the church has been given. We have to embrace the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That fear to man, be dead. The world can tell you what they believe, as crazy as the things they come up with this day, and they expect us to believe it. Yet you can't believe the written word of God proven by miracle after miracle after miracle in the gift of tongue that you've been given, and the world looks at you and says, "That's not real. You shouldn't use that. God didn't give that to you." What do you say to the world? "Oh, yes, he did. I'm not afraid of what man can do to me. I'm afraid of what God can do if I don't walk in the fear of God and produce what he's asked me to produce. For my life is just a vapor. I'm here 1 minute and gone." I was using my iron again this morning. I know for that younger generation, you ain't never seen an iron. But my mother made me iron my t-shirts. T-shirts with crisp corners down the side. I did the best I could on this today, Mom. My point is, what I'm ironing and I'm seeing that steam go up, but it's going, whoo, gone. Here one day and gone the next. Guys, the time we have to make an impact and let the Holy Spirit move through us. We don't have time for fear of man. We don't have time for the craziness. We have time to stand up for what we believe. And I'm not telling you be brass. I'm not telling you stare in the face of the world and say, "You're going to hell." I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is let the love of Christ compel you and put aside the fear of the world. Yes, we are that church that believes in the infilling and speaking in tongues. Yes, we are that crazy church that believes when God speaks, we should move. Yes, we are that God, that church that's not going to let that vehicle sit in the driveway and do nothing, but we're going to ride with the Holy Spirit. He is my ride or die. Come on, church, you got to put off that fear of what you're going to look like, the fear of what you're going to sound like, and begin to embrace and get that rust off of the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues that you've been given. Amen. Amen. John 15, 18 says that if the world hates you, know that it hated me far before it's going to hate you. Amen. What's that saying? They're going to hate you, and it's going to be okay. You're going to walk with your head held high. Why? Because you know that there's life after death, and you're not fearful of what man can do on this life. You're fearful of the judgment day when you stand before God and there's sin in your life and you've not arrived. I just want to get there. God, get me there. Get me there. Let my heart stay and my mind stay full of you. There's nothing I want between us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:2. Now, I just want to state that we don't have time to deal with this today. I'm calling it the gift of tongues. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm talking about tongues today. I'm not talking about one of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit where you have the gift of tongues where someone would come down and give a tongue and then the church would interpret. I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit and the evidence of tongues. Sometimes I use that interchangeably and I shouldn't. I shouldn't. I do believe they're extremely different. But you have to be filled before you can have the gift of speaking in tongues. You got to be filled with the evidence of the Holy Spirit being within you. Amen. All right, here's what it says, 14:2. And we're going to break up because this is starting to get a little involved with the gift of tongues as well. So I'm going to, and the gift of prophecy. So here's what we're going to say. Verse 2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Something to note. Another reason that you need to use your speaking in tongues, your heavenly language, is because when you use it, you're speaking directly to God. There's nothing in between. I don't need an interpreter. I don't need my husband there. I don't need my wife there. I'm talking directly to my Father. And when I am, you heard what it said. Let's go on. It says, they utter mysteries by the Spirit. We are speaking mysteries to God, meaning not mysteries he don't understand, things we don't understand, that our spirit is directly praying to God. And just let me go a step further. When you begin to pray in the Spirit directly to God, and those mysteries start going to him into the throne room, those mysteries can come back. And sometimes things will click in the Bible that you didn't know before. You didn't see the spiritual connotation of what was being said in the Word because your intellect, your mind, your ability did not have what it took to understand what was written between the lines in the Bible. But the Spirit relays the mystery back to you, and now you are getting a new revelation. Because you're speaking in your tongue language, your heavenly language, spirit to spirit. Did you hear me? Spirit to spirit is talking. I'm not making up those words. My intellect can't make a new vocabulary. And by the way, those of you who have the heavenly language, who maybe have not matured the gift, when the devil tells you, that sounds like this, that's you making it up. You look at him and say, devil, you're a liar. It's a gift of God, and I ain't that smart. I'm serious. Who can write a language? Because I can't. But God in me can. And my spirit is crying out to the mighty God. My spirit is exchanging a language between us. And that doesn't just go up. It comes down too. It's a ladder that's open to heaven where the spiritual can come down and the earthly can go up. Amen. And my spirit is being made new in that moment. So get the rust off and start speaking directly to God, because it's there where he unveils these mysteries. It's there where there's hidden wisdom. You need wisdom for a situation, how to get through something. You've thought it all out on your own and there's no way around it. You know what? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit and let God unveil the answer to you. Amen. He reveals himself more and more. You desire greater revelation? Use tongues. Yes. You want a greater realm of relationship with God the Father? than speak in tongues. You want to know a bigger heart of God, because you can't be kind to certain types of people. Start speaking in tongues, and the heart of God will be revealed to you, and you'll know that the way you're treating people is incorrect. Amen. You want to know how to rightfully approach hard situations that you're very adamant about. This is the right way, but you don't know how to deliver that. Speak in tongues, and the revelation of how to do that and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit will take over for you. But you have to yield yourself to it. You have to yield. Let's look at verse 4. Here's another reason in the same paragraph. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Now, what are we talking about? Here we are. Tongues in your personal relationship with God is an edification and a building up of you. But a gift of tongue given down here in the church is given for the entire body of Christ. Do you understand that? That is a gift of tongue that the Holy Spirit dropped. There are 9 of these gifts, and it says when you have the evidence of the Holy Spirit living in your life, you've been filled by the Spirit. There are 9 gifts that come with this Spirit. Now, some get this gift, some get this gift, but I'll tell you this, it said he deposits them or disperses them as he wills. You don't get to choose what you get. You don't get to throw a fit when you don't get the gift that everyone else gets. You know, well, she got the gift of prophecy and I only got tongues. Well, that's a problem. I don't know what to tell you. Get happy with what God gave you and use it to your best ability. That's what we get, right? We're many members with many different parts, different functions, but together we function as the body of Christ. When a gift of tongues comes forth, that tongue is then interpreted by a prophecy to the entire church. That is not teaching. That is not correction. It is an edification to the entire church, which brings comfort, which brings an exhortation to you, an encouragement inside of you, and it's for the entire church. When you're praying at home and you give a tongue and even God inspires you with what he's saying to the Father, that is not for you to bring on Sunday and deliver here. That was for you in that moment, in that time. And the gift of prophecy is working for your personal life. Do you get that? But when you use your tongue, when you do this, when you feel defeated, when you feel discouraged, when you feel depressed, when you feel like there's a situation in your life you just can't get over, like a speed bump, listen to me, that's meant to break you down. That's meant to dry up the Holy Spirit in your life. But if you will yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongues, all of a sudden you're going to find yourself being strengthened by the Spirit. Built back up when you feel defeated, when you feel like, man, God, I just can't keep going. Speak in tongues. Because that's the Holy Spirit building you up and edifying you. Edifying what? Strengthening you. Let's go to Jude. Now, this is going to be a hard one for some of you because it's only one chapter. Go all the way back to the back of your Bible, the book of Revelation. It's right before that. Jude. Literally, I don't even have to tell you what chapter. We're just going to verses 17 through 20. It says, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you that in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who will divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, talking to the church, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. You realize that when you do this, this is a persevering in your faith. It's if you're lacking faith in a certain situation, simply give over your tongue to God and say, God, I don't know how to fix this situation. What I know is that when I pray in the Spirit, you said you would strengthen me. You said you would build me up. You said edification would come. But you said that it would build me up on my most holy faith. Let me tell you something. Some of you got to stop trying to outthink the faith that you have and start building yourself up through the tongue and let the tongue do the work for you. And the faith will come alive in your heart. Be stirred up and be strong enough to take down any mountain that stands in your way. But you got to believe and use the gift that's been given. Use the gift. Don't sit it in the driveway and let it get rust. And then come say, Pastor, I'm just so worn out. I'm so tired. And I say, are you filled with the Spirit? And you say, yes. You got to use it. You got to use it. I can't make your lips move. I can't make you yield to the Holy Spirit. That grieves him when we don't yield. How many of you have children and you watch them struggle? Oh my, I watched Jill do it last week. She's struggling with Lacey. Lacey's trying to do it all on her own. God love Jill. She's the most patient woman I've ever met in my life. She wants to put her spoon in the cottage cheese and pull it out. She doesn't want to use a kid spoon. She wants to use an adult spoon. So if you can imagine cottage cheese on an adult spoon in an 18-month-year-old's hand. It's going to be messy. It's going to be everywhere. Half of it's going to the dog Ginger and the other half's going to Lacey. Ginger is, but Jill is the most patient person, and I watched her let her make the mistake. The Holy Spirit looks at us when we're downcast, when we're weak, when we're not built up on our faith, and he just sits and waits, wanting to take that spoon, pull that bowl back and feed you himself, but he can't because he's a gentleman. He will let you do it on your own as long as you can. He wants to be patient with you. He wants to let you understand it. But your pastor is telling you, listen to me. Do not fight this on your own. Invite the Holy Spirit. Give him your tongue and let him begin to make intercession for you. Let him begin to build you up that when you walk away from that prayer table, when you walk away from that prayer seat, that you're going, yeah, with God, all things are possible. You went in defeated, but you came out victorious. Amen. But if you never go in, you're never coming out victorious. You got to use the tongue. You got to use what God's given you. Romans 8, 26 and 27. I'm just giving you a few. I'm going to be honest with you. There's probably 20 reasons you need it, but I'm just starting with a few. And I know I'm not going to get through them all today, but I'm going to do my best to empty my mind, heart, and soul right here. All right. There are times that we as believers don't know what to pray. Here's what the Bible tells us in the 26th and 27th verse of the 8th chapter. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Isn't that what we just came from? When we need built up, when we need strengthened, we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Wordless groans. Now, for some of you that are very verbal like myself, that's not, that's not a wordless groan. It's the Spirit groaning, amen? And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Here's the key. It releases every single time you begin to speak in the Spirit in prayer. Because you don't know what to pray. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to release an announcement at the end of the service that I'm going to be real with you. My heart and my mind and my will doesn't know what to pray. Because there's so much hurt. There's so much brokenness in a situation. But what I know is that when I lift up my gift of tongue, that God's will supersedes anything that I could ever pray. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Because sometimes some of us just need to stop praying our nonsense. Stop praying what you want to see happen in your spouse. How about you start praying in the Spirit, in tongues for your spouse, and watch God begin to deliver that which he knows is best for your marriage. Because what you want is the trash taken out. What you want is you want him to pay attention to you. But what God's saying is, I know the heart of why he's not paying attention to you. And I know why he's not taking the trash out. I'm not going to deal with the topical part. I'm going to the heart and the root issue of why he cannot serve his wife. But some of us want God to do it our way. I'm just sick of it. I need you to deal with this, 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 and this. And God's like, I just need you to quit praying your will and begin listening to me and let me do my work. Some of our marriages, there might be a little piece of disunity. Your husband sees it like this, and you see it like this. Let me tell you, the best thing you could do, honor God with your tongue. Just give him 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes a day, and start out, say, God, I'm giving you my tongue about this situation, and my husband and I don't see eye to eye, but God, I'm praying in the spirit that my spirit will understand which way I'm supposed to go. Your will be done, not mine. Two hearts come together with different deciding ideas, with one thing in mind, and the Spirit begins to cry to the Father on our behalf. And before you know it, God begins to tell the wife or the husband why this is not his perfect plan and why this is. And then one humbles itself and goes to the others and says, babe, I just want you to know I've been praying. And you know what? My heart is aligned with yours. Whatever God told you is where we're headed, because God's corrected my heart. And let me just say this, men, not just because you are the head of your home, does that always mean that your choice gets made and your wife's does not? Did you hear me? There are things that your wife can hear spiritually that maybe you cannot. And this is the reason the two shall become one. That's not just in earthly, that's one. That means you're one person thinking and acting together. And when there's disunity in your home, where there's strife, where there's envy, where there's no peace, there can be every evil work. Some of our marriages don't need another great marriage help book. They just need a submission to the Holy Spirit. And let the tongue take over, and let's make prayer and intercession for our marriage. Amen. When you yield your tongue to the Spirit, let's just go a step further. I'm going to wrap up. In James, when we look at the tongue, that is this little tiny organ that manages his entire ship. I'm just going to tell you, you have a problem with gossip. You have a problem with lying. You have a problem with backbiting. You have a problem that your mouth can't be submitted to authority, and you can't sit and listen to your spouse in a right tone, and you feel that everything you say and everything you do is right and they are wrong, and your tongue becomes a sword. Then I'm telling you, more time in the Spirit. More time speaking in the Spirit will tame that tongue. Amen. But if you never yielded because you always know what's right, then your pride and your arrogance will drive you right into a shipwreck, and it'll be the Titanic like you ain't never seen. A yielding of that tongue to the Spirit in the spirit realm equals an earthly tongue controlled by the Spirit, not by man. Amen. I finished today with Ephesians. The 5th chapter, the 18th verse. I touched on it a little earlier about a continual filling. It says, don't be drunk with wine because it will ruin your life. This is Ephesians 5:18. I'm sorry. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. It tells us to be filled with the Spirit constantly. And I read this. This was a quote from Charles Spurgeon. Sometimes I can read his stuff. Sometimes it's really hard. I'm going to be honest with you. He's so deep. But this is what it said. It was a quote from him. It said, I need to be continually filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, because I leak. Say, I leak.
I leak.
You leak the Holy Spirit. And if you don't think that's true, just go walk out into that world and let them begin to drip on you and see how much of the Holy Spirit that you need just to survive in that environment out there. Because it's ugly. It's ugly. And this is what it is. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, this is scripture, John 7:38. You don't have to turn. It says, the person who believes in me from their innermost being, this is Jesus speaking, out of them will flow rivers of living water. In order to flow, you must be filled. But if there's a constant flow out, then there must be a constant flow in. And if we're not using the tongue and parking the car, then we're never getting refilled. And all we're doing is surviving on the very first amount that we had. Am I right? If you plan on giving to other people, how much can you get? What if I poured out everything I had today, and then I went into my office on Monday and I did nothing? I just sat there. Tuesday, I just sat there. Wednesday, I sat, Ashley, can I have more K-cups? Thursday, I just sat there. Friday, I slept in. Saturday, I didn't go to prayer. I didn't have time for that. I had yard work to do. And Sunday, well, I don't know. Church is overstated. Sometimes those people just stimulate me socially, and I just don't have time for that. I hear every excuse in the book. I'd have nothing to pour out. I'd have nothing to give you. I'd have nothing to refill your spirit that you could go into the week and be equipped in your faith, in your power, and go out there and win a world to Jesus, let alone survive on your own. Church, you must refill what's there, because if you want to flow out, then you have to be refilled. And we refill with his living water, and the living water is the Spirit of God. That comes by speaking in tongues. That refilling, that strengthening, that equipping, the mysteries that are revealed. What I'm telling you is that the Holy Spirit is like oil. And the oil of God comes down on those rusty spots that maybe you've been fearful to use, that maybe the Holy Spirit's asked you to, but you've declined. And he pours the oil of the Spirit upon that. And before you know it, that which had began rusty begins to work again. And before you know it, what was unusable is now usable and becomes a vehicle for your life to gain strength, to gain life, so that you can pour more out. Stand to your feet this morning. We're going to do the same thing that the apostolic anointing did on that Wednesday night. And I'm going to challenge every believer in here. If those of you already went through your Wednesday night service and you already got prayed for, then you're good for lunch. But if not, I want to be sure that the rust that the Spirit spoke, that he saw in our lives, that rust, if you've been filled with the Spirit, but yet you haven't been using your gift of tongue, because, you know, I don't know, it just kind of feels weird, Pastor Nicole. No. No, that's the devil lying to you. He's stopping you from getting the strength you need, from getting the revelation you need, from getting the heart of God that you need to understand. I'm going to ask that you come forward for prayer today. There may be some of you in this room that have never received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I'm going to tell you. It's a gift. It's freely given. You must believe that you are worthy to receive this gift. That's just how it works. If you don't see yourself as holy, if you don't see yourself as giving, then you can't receive it. It's like you're going like this to God and saying, give me a gift. I need you to open your hands spiritually and say, God, I really want this gift. I want to get in the Holy Spirit every day and drive it with me. I want to go where you want me to go. Sometimes I just want like the Tesla Holy Spirit version, right? You get in, you don't even have to push the gas. He just takes you where he wants you to go, and then you do the work when you get there. Tesla, I don't know what it is. Quit making fun of me. I don't know. You know that guy, a real rich guy, runs them. Looks like a little, never mind. Anyways, I saw a guy sleeping the other day. I'm like, what in the world? That was awesome. I want to pray with you today. Our prayer team's going to pray with you. Prayer team, please come on down today, because we're going to pray for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the Spirit is here to do a mighty work, number one. And number two, he's going to break the rust off of you in the areas that you've allowed to just be not movable, okay? But before we do this, I want to offer Jesus to everyone in this house today, as we do every single Sunday. If you're here in this house today and you're like, Pastor Nicole, I don't even know what this whole tongue thing is. I probably came on the wrong Sunday. Maybe you did. But actually, you found out who we are as a church and what we believe in. And we're not afraid to look stupid for God. We're not allowed to become comfortable in who he is. And we believe in the spiritual realm. There's an evil realm and there's a good realm. And we're connected to the good realm. So no matter what you've heard or how fearful you might be, God is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. But he wants to save you from the wreckage that you're in. And I mean wreckage. Because some of us live a life that has just been away from God for so long that we don't even know what living with Him looks like. But I'm here to remind you that we didn't either when we came to Jesus. We didn't know what that looked like. He continued the work in us. All we had to do was begin to learn His statutes and learn His word. And that word began to do a work in us. This is not a place for perfect people. It's a place where the broken people come to seek after the perfect one, which is Christ. So if you're here in this house, I'm going to ask every eyes to be closed and every head to be bowed this morning, out of reverence just to the people that are somewhat stepping into a place maybe they've never known. If that's you today and you're saying, Pastor Nicole, I want to accept Christ. Or maybe you've been drawn away from God. You knew Him at one time, but it's time to come back home. If that's you and you feel this little gentle nudge in your heart today, that's not you. That's God speaking to you. If you would just slip up your hand, just slip up your hand in the congregation today. There's a prayer team that's waiting to pray with you. Is there anyone that would say, Lord, that's me. Pastor Nicole, I want to be in the kingdom of God. Is there anyone? Please keep it up high. Stretch it up. Stretch it up. I got some tall ones in the back looking. Anybody here that would say, I want to give my life to Christ today? There's one. We got one. All right. You see that one? Praise God. Praise God. Lincoln's got them. Good. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, brave soul. Thank you, young girl. Anyone else who would say, I want to know Jesus as my personal Savior today? All right. With that due, Lincoln, you're praying with that new salvation, but we're going to ask that everyone that feels like there is rust in a place in your life in the Holy Spirit, that you'd come down today. There it is. Look at that. Come on. What a brave soul, Landon. Thank you. Young generation leading right there. Look at that. Future generation. If you now, prayer team, be sure you're praying. Ask them if they're filled, but if they're not, break that off of them so that they're using it. And I want them using it here. Now, get them started in using it right now, speaking in tongues. Draw it forth. Draw it out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Church, I love you. If you're not here for prayer today and you need to get on your way, I know there's graduations. I'm going to pray you out. But I have an announcement, but you're going to have to wait until we're done praying for everyone. I don't want to do that right now, but I have some church business we got to take care of. But for now, we're going to pray and get some rust on. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. Go ahead.